Morning, everybody. Good to see you all. Did you have a good week? We have a new speaker here today. Praise God for that. That's right. We're going to open today with page 52. Let's stand. 52, please.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Oh, purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Let's pray. Father, Father, thank you for the absolutely precious day that you give us today. The opportunity to be here to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for the great nation that we live in, Lord. We know it's many, many problems, Lord, but we pray for our nation. It is a gift from you, Lord, the freedom that we enjoy today. Help us to live it, Lord, and to love it, and to know what it is. Thank you, Lord, for answers to prayer. Lord, be with him today. Make him strong as he gives your message today, that it might speak to each and every person here today, Lord, in some way. And Lord, if someone needs to get right with you, Lord, that person might do so before they leave. Lord, it's a good day of fellowship. Help us to remember, Lord, to smile, give a handshake, a hug, whatever. Lord, be with Judy and her family today with the loss of Russell. Lord, Russell's with you today. But help us to remember him, Lord, and remember the family especially. Just guide and direct, Lord. I just pray for a great day here today, Lord, and one that would honor and glorify your name. Thank you for this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me see here. 736, please. 736. It's just a chorus. Here we go. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Thank you. Let's see. Tonight's our evening service. I think we're going to do a speaker message again tonight, but we'll get it. We'll get it right somehow. Personal evangelism's on the 29th. Iron Sharpens Iron's on the 29th at 6:30. Let's see. I'll be printing up the November calendar by the 23rd. I think that's Deb speaking. If you have anything to put in the calendar, please get it to Deb, your info to Deb, by the 22nd. Ladies' Conference, Saturday the 2nd of November at Walnut Park, 9 to 3. Sign up sheets on the back bulletin board. Fellowship next Sunday. Kitchen team is Autumn and Saunders in charge of that. Pastor's Talk of the Week, are you finding strength in your weakness through Christ? And guys, just a minute. Kim's going to come up here and just short, brief thing she's got to say.
Okay, this is the time of year for Thanksgiving. We should have Thanksgiving every day in our life, right? Not just during the Thanksgiving season, but it is coming fast. And as you know, we do the basket giveaway the end of November. So we had that free will offering set up back there for donations because the church voted to give $500. And we know the cost of groceries. We want to do 25 baskets again this year. So we are taking just donations to add to that for the shopping for that food. And then I will have a chart made next week, and it'll be on the back wall, of what we can have donated, what we need. And we need cans of corn, cans of green beans, cans of cream and mushroom soup, the onion, you know, the dried onions that go on top. Debbie Wheeler was able to get at Heinz all the gravy, so we have the gravy purchased, which is a blessing, and almost all the stuffing was donated. So, yeah, I think we need 22 more boxes of stuffing so that each box can get 2 boxes of stuffing. Instant potatoes, and we try to keep the baskets very fair, so whatever you bring, we will put on that graph so that we can make sure we have 25 of those. Like if you want to donate cereal, if you find a real good bargain on cereal, so we can chart how many boxes we have so that each basket can get a box of cereal. So we're starting that. We've got to, you know, really get going heavy, hard and heavy on that, because it is coming up really fast. And I thank you for all your help with this. It is a really blessing to do this, to give do this giveaway that day when we all get together. And it, by the way, the date for that is Saturday morning, November the 23rd, and I believe I wrote down 10 o'clock to 11 is the giveaway. It's the 1 hour giveaway, and we have vouchers that the L&M school gives. We make the vouchers, but they give us the list of names of the families that are in need of that. Yeah. I know you do. It's a good school, isn't it? Yeah. You're what? Oh, I have to argue with that one, but yeah. No, it is a good school. So the 23rd of November, Saturday, from 10 to 11, we'll meet here at 9 to put the baskets together. And it's really fun. We have an assembly line, and we all work together. And it's just such a blessing to be able to give and share with these people so they might have a nice Thanksgiving meal. We'll purchase, turkeys, but we'll purchase the turkeys. So that's all the same. And anything added that we have to get, we'll use these funds so that every basket is full and gets the same amount of things in it. But if you're out and you're a good bargain shopper and you find something, grab it, and we'll put it on the chart so then we can add more of that to it so that we have 25 to go in the basket. But if you have any questions, see me. I'm sorry, it's really late getting going on this. We've had a lot going on in our house, so forgive me for that. But if you have any questions about it, Jason? Oh, I forgot that. Yes. Yes. Yeah, do you understand that? If stuff comes in donated, but it's not enough to go in the baskets, we're going to have a table set up. And if they want to come in and go through that table line and take what they need, they can take that. That way, the baskets are all the same, but they can come in and take what's extra on the tables. And if, like I said, if you feel led to give that way, you can do that. And we'll have the table set up, and you can start bringing whatever you want. And again, it's a real blessing to give. And the Bible says it's better to give than to receive. So we're all very blessed in this room. And, there's not a one of us that aren't blessed. So let's share that blessing with others this time. So thank you.
If I remember right, there's a box in the back. If you just want to give some money, whatever, just dump it back there and we'll make sure it gets spent in the right areas. Let's see, Pastor said to remind us all, we're going to have fellowship next Sunday. If you'd rather have our evening service right after the fellowship, instead, raise your hand. Because we're going to have Bible baseball for our evening service in place of it. It's a neat thing, yeah. We don't get the millions that those guys get, but, we get to play baseball that way anyway. So, do I need to call a business meeting?
No. Okay. It's a consensus that people want to do that.
We're going to try it.
That's fine too.
We're going to try it out. See how it works. If it don't work, we won't do it again. So, or maybe later on. Okay. Guys, you come forward. We'll take up the morning off. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the beautiful day and the opportunity to be here, Lord, in your house. Lord, thanks for what Kim had to say, Lord, on this upcoming event for Thanksgiving. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we'd be able to really put some smiles on some different people's faces, Lord, just giving a little bit back to our community, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for getting our pastor here today. Just guide and direct, Lord, as he presents your message today, Lord. Pray that it all goes well. And Lord, now we have a chance to give a small portion back to you, Lord. I just pray that you be the gift and the giver as we do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Page 636, please. 636.
Sacrifice at Calvary. I know my Lord expects the best from me. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? When He has done so much for me. The hours I have wasted are so many. The hours I've spent for Christ so few. Because of all my lack of love for Jesus, I wonder, breaking to how many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when He has done so much for me?
Verse 3 is the last.
I wonder, have I cared enough for others, or have I let them die alone? I might have helped a wanderer to the Savior, the seed of precious life I might have sown. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when He has done so much for me?
Thank you. Autumn's going to sing now.
It's called Christ Our Wisdom.
I'll get it eventually. No pressure, right?
So when we, my family goes to a family camp at Iowa Regular Baptist Camp. We've gone the last couple summers, and this was one of the songs they sang there. I'd never heard it before, but it's a really great, great song. So, for the Lord today. Well, I'll try to play it in the right key. Let me try that again.
Christ our wisdom, we are humbled when You hide Your ways from us. You have purposes outnumbered, each one good. from our anxious thoughts. Give us grace to see more clearly. You are God and we are not. Christ our wisdom, be our gladness when we fail to understand. You ordain all joy and sadness to fulfill your perfect plan. Help us know.
Introduction into worship, is it not today? As we bow before the throne of grace, I want to welcome you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today to our service and a time again to gather corporately to worship. Yes, it has been a while. It's just not quite the same, is it? It was, yes, young folks may go down for children's church. It's just not quite the same when we're not connected by sight. But remember, we do walk by faith and not by sight. So hopefully it was the spiritual essence of our gathering that's taken place. But thank you so much in my absence for all that all have done. And it's been very touching. And it's very touching to be back today. I'll just say this, I'm a little weak, but the Apostle Paul said, when we're weak, we're strong in Christ. So that's how we're going to operate, and we'll keep going and hopefully get strengthened and further along the way. But it's so nice to be back with all of you again today. And what a glorious day God's given us. And of course, we want to welcome anyone that's visiting with us today, especially if you're here for the first time. But if you've been here for the umpteenth time, we're glad that you're here with us this morning. Trust that you'll be blessed in what takes place here today. But the most important thing is, will we be a blessing to the Lord? And so as we prepare to start today, we'll take just a few moments, as we have done for some time, and adjust our hearts in the light of what Autumn brought for us today and that worship challenge. to again experience Christ as our wisdom and our glory, and to honor Him in what we do today with our heartfelt desire to worship Him and let Him know how worthy He is to us today. So, remember today, before we do go to prayer, there are some needs in our family. Judy, I was not able to see you earlier, but our sympathies, Christian sympathies, and brothers and sisters, our sympathy is extended to the Ship family at the loss of Russell. And we know that that is a hard thing. Death is a very tough thing for humanity. Never designed for by God, but man chose it. But we can rejoice, though, today as well that Russell is in, his soul is in the presence of the Lord today because of faith in Jesus Christ. We know that Russell believed he was a sinner, and he also believed that Jesus was his Savior. And that's how we're saved, by grace through faith. And so we know that this will be a tough time, and yet we rejoice that his race is run. As I mentioned to Kathy the other day, Jesus finished his mansion. His dwelling place in heaven was finished, and now he is experiencing that again today, free of the sorrow and pain that we find on this side of eternity. Also this morning, remember Brother Dave Brockert. He's not well today, and neither is his son Leslie. And so we know also that this week some folks are facing surgeries in our church and health situations. And so be sure to uplift those again before your throne. I know Brenda, I don't think she would mind. She's having a procedure. And there are others that are facing trials this week. Marlon, is it okay if Marlon's going in? There he is also. And so we lift you up as well, Marlon. So with that in mind, let's take a few moments of silence, and then I'll follow with a short pastoral prayer, and we'll hit the ground running. I am going to attempt to stand back there today to greet you all as you leave. And if you have questions there, we can take that time then, but now we better get down to business, right? And accomplish what God would have us to have this morning. So let's bow in prayer for a few moments, and then I'll finish with a pastoral prayer. Oh God, our Father, we come today once again assembled as your gathering, the church, the called out ones. We thank you today, Lord, for the first day of the week. I pray today, Lord, as we consider our worship and our heartfelt worship before your throne, that as this is the first day of the week, you would be first priority of this week to come, should it be the case. We acknowledge today, Father God, that this is all about your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who you sent to be the propitiation for our sins, the wrath-removing sacrifice, the fact that he came and took our penalty in our place on Calvary's cross, and he did it willingly in obedience to you. Lord, that was done out of love, and love that we cannot even explain or even fathom. But Lord, we can come closer to that to understand that what really took place there is that the undeserving died for the deserving and took their penalty. And so, Lord, that is real love. That is charity, as it's been translated in many places. And Lord, we are needy people. But we thank you today that your sufficiency through your Son has saved us. For those who are willing to call upon your name and place their faith and trust in you alone. And so we thank you that that is the basis and the bedrock that we meet on here today as those that have been called out. But Lord, we also know there could be people here who have never trusted you as well. And we're thankful for everyone that's present. I thank you for that today, Lord. But I pray today, Lord, that this would be, if it be your will and in your timing, that if there is someone here today that is needy but has not had those needs met in you, that this might be that day. And Lord, for the rest of us here, wherever our walk may be with you this morning, whether close or somewhat distant, I pray today you'll draw us closer to yourself. Mold us and change us today, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be future-minded. Not only future in heaven eternally with you, but also the future that lies ahead under your providential care. Lord, we know that our world is racked with difficulties due to the sin curse. And we also know that what you have told us, that as time has passed, things will be worse and worse here. Because sin does not correct itself, it only multiplies itself without your mathematics, Lord, if we want to use that term. So we ask, Lord, again, your help in the day we live with, again, the situation we find ourselves in. And Lord, help us to consider making you king of our lives, Lord. Now, Lord, we've already heard this morning, and we do pray, and we want to extol you, Lord, and raise you up this morning, and give you the preeminence, as the book of Colossians says, from the hand of Paul, in all things. And so, Lord, that is our desire today to do that before your throne. But, Lord, we also know that you say to cast all your cares upon you because you care for us. The Apostle Peter told us that. And so today, Lord, I've listed some of those things this morning that are cares and burdens, but all of us here today have some of those. And, Lord, we also acknowledge that some that are not here today are dealing with those as well. I pray, Lord, for our community around us. I pray, Lord, for the Ship family today that you would bring strength and comfort, Lord, in this loss of Russell. We don't know your ways, Lord. Your ways are higher than our ways, but we know and rest in your sovereign will, Lord. But it still is an empty place around the table, and Lord, something that we'll miss. And so I pray that you'll help the family. I pray for the Brockerts today, both Dave and his son Leslie. And I know that Melissa and Robert is experiencing some things too. And I just pray, Lord, that your hand of help and healing might be upon them in this week to come. And also for Marlon, Lord, as he undergoes a procedure, and Brenda this week as well. So, Lord, there may be others, and you know those things, and I know you will act upon them in your time and in your way. Now, Lord, as it's time now to look into your word, I pray that your word will wash us today, that your word will edify us, it will enlighten us, Lord, and help us to understand the way things are. I thank you today for your word. It all fits together. It tells us. It has the answers for all things. And it shows us exactly your revealed will in many of these areas. And for, Lord, for what it has not shown us, which I don't believe is anything significant, we can rest knowing that it is sufficient for us and all the needs that we have. Now that leaves the weak link in the chain, and that's me. I pray you'll give me the strength to bring this message forward. And Lord, that the Holy Spirit will empower it, and that there will be changed lives and people closer to you as a result from it. But Lord, it's a hefty responsibility on my part. And I am weak these days, but Lord, we know that what you told your servant Paul, when we're weak, if we yield to you, you'll make us strong. Grow us and change us, I pray today in the word, and I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of our message today, and I might just add this, that normally I don't preach the same messages out at Moscow, but today I did, because I thought that there was relevance. The Spirit led me to bring forth this message, but this is a requested message from a person here at Fruitland who will not be revealed, unless they want to reveal themselves at some point. But it was a good mess. Well, the message may not be good for me, but we know the Bible will always be good. But it was a good question, and it's a good thing to look at. And let me just assure you, we will not get through this whole thing today. If you lose your note sheet, we'll make more for next week. But we're going to quit at least early and at the worst on time today. Okay? Because it's a beautiful day God's given us, and there's enough meat in this to give us plenty of food for thought. But the note sheet will hopefully help you to jot down a few things and have the verses there that I'm going to be using this morning. But the title of our message today is The Fall of Lucifer and Demonic Activity. And folks, and again, it's a requested message, but I believe this, that as the days pass, you've heard from me here recently that I believe, according to Dr. Luke in the book of Acts and what the Apostle Peter, what he recorded about him, we are living in the last days. We're already 1,900 plus years into the last days. And if you read passages like 2 Timothy 4:1, you'll find that it's prophesied that in the later days, demonic activities, doctrines of demons, and seducing spirits will become more and more prevalent. And I think, folks, that you'll see that in our very midst and have seen it grow. If you've lived a few years, even in later times here, how much more Satan and his minions are at work and are publicly a part of life that many people take for granted. So I want to challenge those things this morning a little bit with some of the doctrines from the Word. There's a lot of misconceptions, but the Word is truth. God's Word is truth, and it will set us straight and keep us straight for the things that He would have us to know in the day that we live. So friends in Christ, no one can doubt the presence of two basic forces in our world, which are good and evil. If you don't realize that that's the case today, where have you been? We know it, don't we? It's real. And by the way, if you have a question as I go through this, we can stop and take a look at that briefly. We don't do that a lot in our morning services, but it's certainly fine. But if you have a question, you're surely welcome to ask at the door or ask others that will know the answers. But we know that God's Word, the answer book, has the answers, okay? And that's the basis. So absolutely, there are two forces in the world, and they are good and evil. And so the questions come in our humanity, how did all this come to play? I've been writing a column now for the, I call it the Wilton Times, but the Wilton Advocate. And I miss that venue here in Muscatine. I used to like to write for the Journal, but we don't have that. The Wilton Advocate still has a good readership. It's a weekly. And as I've talked to them, they have about 2,400 subscribers yet. And it's kind of a local paper that has the sports from Wilton schools and so on and so forth. And so I've put a column in there, and it's called The Cornered Pastor. And it's, again, hopefully it'll enhance Fruitland as well. We do have our name in their list there, in our, the church directory, but it's to hopefully enhance Moscow and to see that come about. But that column, the idea of the cornered pastor is that when you put someone in a corner or a livestock or something like that, you're going to have to demand answers from them. And that's the point of this column. I want to answer questions that people have about the faith, because there are many out there today, folks. And some of these things surround this very topic that we're looking at today. For instance, the first column I wrote in there is, why do bad, if God's a good God and a God of love, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, I won't go and tell you all about that, even though I have, or I could. There is a reason, but God is good. And God does not want bad things to happen, but the essence of all this is boiled down to this. Man chose the path that we're on. And the Bible fully explains that. But thankfully, I can't stop with that alone, God also redeemed us back to where it can all be good for what happens to the believer. And God is a good God. We'll look at that also this morning. Anyway, how did evil, how did Lucifer, Satan, where did he come from? What's the background of all this? Anyway, for the answers this morning, we'll look into the Word of God. So the first point today, I do want to do some scripture turning this morning, and it's important. But let's start at the very beginning, and that's in the book of Genesis. And as you can see, I put these verses in reverse order, and that's kind of how I work sometimes, but most of you have gotten used to that over the years. But let's go back to Genesis 1:31 and let's see if God truly was good and how this all came about that we have these two forces in our midst today. Genesis 1 and verse 31 says the following. This is at the end of creation. God created the earth in 6 days, and then on the set the heavens and the earth and things that are around them in 6 days. And the seventh day he rested, but after his work there, his creative work was completed on the sixth day, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was? Thank you. Nothing that God does is not very good. Because God, by his very essence, is good. I want us to know that today, and we're going to see that from Scripture. But there it is. It was very good. That is not in italics in my Bible. Is it yours? Very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, that's where it all begins. And jot this down. We'll look at I think we'll get this far this morning. But jot this down that everything was good at the end of creation. And that's going to be something that we can find out now when things went bad. We can come to a parameter of time when things went from good to bad and how that took place. Now, let's go to Psalm 92:15 real briefly here. And we can take all the time we need, really. what we don't get accomplished today will get accomplished when we get it accomplished. Psalm 92:15. By the way, you know, over the airwaves, I still struggle with getting my Bible turned. And how many of you have heard when the phone rang? What else happened? It seemed like every time I was recording messages, something cropped up, but it all worked out. But Psalm 92:15, let's look at this together. Well, let's read 14 and 15. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no, get this, unrighteousness in him. He's pure. He's upright. David is writing this about his God, about our God. And there is no shadow of sin or anything that is negative about the God of the Bible. He is positive, and he is good, and he is righteous. Then let's go back to the book of James toward the end, the little epistle of James, and read. And these are not by any means the only verses in the Bible, but I just give us a few to ponder on. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 14 say the following. Let no man say, and interestingly enough, that question that I answered in the Advocate this week, God's not a good God. And I've heard that said to me personally before. I want nothing to do with your God, because if he allows what's happened in this world to happen, I want nothing to do with him. That's why we need to know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey said. Let no man say when he is tempted, or this is tempted to sin, or tested by the influence of sin. And by the way, we'll learn this morning. Satan is our adversary. I'll get to that in just a few minutes. But there is a warfare that is going on in the heavens. It's not only here on earth, and we won't get there today on this, but it's in this message. But there is a warfare that is going on in the heavens between God's forces and the forces of Satan and the fallen angels. But anyway, let no man's, and Satan wants to take us out. I want us to know this today. If you're a believer here today, and even if you're not a believer here today, Satan has a target painted on you. He wants to separate you from the cross, the power of the cross, okay? If you're not saved here today, he wants you to stay that way. And very likely in your life, you'll experience less problems. I want to let that be known. When you're on Satan's side, it's a smoother ride. I want to tell you the truth. When you come under the leadership of the Holy Spirit when you're saved, life is still smooth. But it also has bumps. Because what Satan, you cannot lose your salvation, but what Satan wants you to do is to put your salvation aside. And you can alliterate this with sins. He wants you to be involved in sin. And that's the target he has painted on the believer's back. He wants you to fall. Satan is such a delusional character because he's deluded about it. He still thinks he can win when he knows he's beaten. Now, is there something there that we could apply to some sports teams? I'll be careful with that. But he wants you to fall. He still believes that Christians can be snatched away. Well, they can be diverted, but we cannot lose our salvation. But we can lose the what? We can lose the power, the strength, and the good stuff in our salvation if we allow Satan to disrupt that fellowship with the Father. Anyway, let's take a look at these verses, or finish taking a look here. For God, it says here from the Apostle James, hear me now, cannot be what? Tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So know this today, God will never tempt you to sin or to do evil things. He is not the source or the author or the facilitator of evil. But every man is tempted or tested when? When we, or he, okay, is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And folks, the basis of all this, as we'll learn today, is pride. Pride is the dangerous thing. It's when we get to thinking too much of ourselves. And we expose ourselves to these things that come from Satan. But that's what it is. And this is, you could preach a whole message on this, and I have before. But it's when the lust that is a part of our pride, it takes effect in our lives. It gives a root for Satan to work. It's one thing to think about these things, but when we go further than thinking and put them into action. In other words, we need to do like Jesus said to Peter. When we have a thought come into our heads that is a wrong thought, an evil thought, we need to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Get out of here." You know? "Leave me alone. Get away." And what James tells us, these thoughts and these practices will flee from us. But folks, if those are not conquered at that point, we do commit sin, both emotionally and in the mind, and then eventually physically. And these things all lead to destruction and trouble and give Satan the victory. But hallelujah, Jesus has won the victory for us. Amen? Let's get excited about that today. We're not on the losing side. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God." I usually can jump when I can't do that right now and click my heels together. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Folks, we have been given the power to see Satan defeated in our lives. Take that today, folks, and run with it. Anyway, now back to the little epistle of 1 John, verses chapter 1, verse 5, and chapter 4, verse 8. 1 John, just a little ways back here, further toward the back of your Bibles. 1 John, chapter 1, and we're going to begin with verse 5. The Apostle John says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." God is light. You know, when God was creating the world and the things of the world, remember, there was no sunshine to begin with. But there was no need for light because God is the light. When we're in heaven, there will be no need for the light of the sun because God will light heaven. Jesus, God's Son, God in the flesh, is the light of the world. Light is always associated with God. But notice here in this verse, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So we know that if God is pure light, that darkness must be what? Pure evil. We can know that, and we know the Bible also tells us that as well. Now over to chapter 4 and verse 8, and then we'll get going here. John chapter 4 and verse 8. My goodness. There we go. This is just a confirmation again about God. Is he a loving God? Is he good? Well, this is one verse of many that confirms that. Verse 8. "He that loveth not," in this case, John says, "knoweth not God, for God is love." God is love. He is light. He is good. You can prove it's proven out through the whole Bible, and it's proven out as well when we get our theology straight in this world. God never intended for this world to be what it's turned into. Now, God is omniscient. He knows all things front and back. He knew what was going to happen. But, you know, the fact of the matter is we have to come down to brass tacks on this, and that people chose. Adam and Eve chose. And we have that choice as well, even though we're sinners because of our tie to them genetically. But, folks, God is good. And our theology is wrong if we think anything less of that. All right? So, let me just say this before we go to point two. He does allow evil. He gave man free will. We're going to find out he gave the angels free will as well. God does not, he did not create robots that we are forced to do anything with him. He wants us to genuinely love him with our whole heart in a way that he loves us. But he does not force anyone. He did not want evil, but he allowed it to happen. And you've heard this from me many times. It is permitted to exist for now. Can I hear an amen on that? For now. This will not be the way eternally. But for now, his permissive will allow it to happen, but it will never be his perfect will. He permits it, but it's not what he wanted for mankind. He allows evil to show its authority. He allows evil to show his authority over it, and it's greatly displayed to its fullest extent when God had to come in the flesh as his son Jesus Christ and die on the cross for our sins. God had the authority to destroy the power of evil. He will be destroying and removing the presence of it as well. One day we will no longer be under it. And he is changing us daily, hopefully, as believers. If you're a believer here this morning, and he is perfecting and removing evil from you and the exposure to it through his protective care in our life. So he will take us away eventually from the power of it and even from the absolute presence of it one day. But he also removed us from the penalty of it at the cross for those who will trust in him. Anyway, that was why Jesus, through this, God never intended it, but Jesus showed the power of God in overcoming all that for us today. Hallelujah, amen, right? Let's go out of here with smiles on your face. Hopefully you brushed your teeth this morning. I had a cup of coffee before I spoke to some of you. Forgive me for that. But, you know, we ought to smile more, Christians, because God's delivered us. Hallelujah, amen. All right, second point today. Someone keep an eye on the time, because we got a lot more to go here. But here's the origin of evil. We're going to find out where it came from. I mentioned earlier that God created humanity. By the way, humans have a soul, and a soul has value to God. Now, not that his created angels and their beings do not have value to him. They did have and do have, and we'll look at that here in this point this morning. But remember that God values souls of humans because that's why he sent Jesus. You can know that we're valuable to him. Not in a way that we need to get puffed up about that and say that, but we can know that and know that we do have an importance to God because he created us with an eternal perspective in our lives. When a new child is conceived in the womb, a new soul is given. That soul has an eternal presence forever. That's what eternal means. It's either going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, or it's going to be present in hell and in the company of Satan and his angels. A soul is a valuable thing. That's why Jesus came, for the souls of men. We ought to have a value, as the Lord has, on every living soul. Every person that's passing by here today is important to God. And we need to have that same perspective in our lives as well. But here's the second point. Evil's origins came from free will and the desires of Lucifer through pride. I mentioned earlier that the basis of all sin is pride. Let me just say that, and we'll see this in a moment here if we get to it. But if you use a lot of pronouns in your life like I all the time, okay? I try to watch that in my life because when I hear too much about I, I'm not hearing enough about him. Okay? So that's something to watch out for, and we're going to see this proven out in Lucifer. But a little bit of background here. The name Lucifer means light bearer. And what we'll find here is that Lucifer was one of God's three archangels that are mentioned in Scripture. But we'll also see in our text this morning that Lucifer, which means light bearer, was the head of the archangels. These are the angels that guarded the throne of God. Okay? But angels were created with free will. So let's delve into this a little bit this morning. But this idea of Lucifer being God's lead archangel, by the way, the word angel, angelos in the Greek, means messenger. Angels were created by God to do his will, and they send a message. I believe the Bible also says that each of us has an angel. It's a guard, you know, that watches over us, that God's assigned to us. Thank you, Jesus. I've needed it here lately. I need it every day. You know, thank you, Lord. But anyway, this lead angel, and we'll look at this in a minute in the book of Ezekiel. He's the one that created the original sin. Now, we hear often that it was Eve that was the original sinner. Well, she was in humanity, even though technically it was Adam's fault. Ladies, always blame the man. Faith, I see that smile. Marcus, you're going to have to tell him about that. Yep, he's... Yeah, you know, the Bible says that. It's called the headship of Adam. Adam was responsible for Eve. Where was Adam? In the garden, you know. And where was he when she said, Adam, eat this piece of fruit? And like I said, for men, you know, this is our struggle as men. He said, oh, he knew better. He said, oh, okay. I want to keep you happy, baby. But look what happened. What, yeah, the power that Satan has in these areas. Anyway, he is the original one that introduced sin into humanity. And that's Lucifer, because he interacted with humanity after the fall. So the question is, when did Lucifer fall from heaven? The answer is somewhere between Genesis 1:31, which said everything was very good, and when Satan manifested himself through that creature. Many believe it was a snake, but it was some type of a creature. Could have been on standing, but it was a beautiful creature. He came as an angel of light through beauty to tempt our sister Eve and Adam. Okay? And that's when he fell, somewhere between those times. We don't know an exact time frame, but I believe it was rapidly. I think the effects that took place, much like today, that real time moves real quick. I think very soon after the world was formed, then we'll find out why Satan wanted to be like God, his pride, and he fell, and that's what plunged us all into what it is, the chaos that we live in today. Anyway, never forget this, too. By the way, Satan has around 30-some names in Scripture. I could give you quite a few this morning, but I want to key on one here as we move through this. His main name now, after he fell, is adversary. The word Satan means adversary. When you think about an adversary, what do you think about? Someone that's an enemy, or some situation or presence that's an enemy, and that indeed is what Satan is. He fulfills his name. He's not only an enemy of God, but he is also an enemy of us. And bear in mind, angels have no plan of redemption. Angels cannot be saved. Those that fell are condemned to punishment in hell. They cannot be reversed. And so Satan wants to drag as many people as he can down with him. He still believes he can be victorious, even though he knows he's beaten. But I want to tell us today, folks, proof positive, Satan is defeated once and for all, and he can be defeated in our life as well. Anyway, interestingly enough now, if you turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 through 15, and someone watch the time. 2 Corinthians 11, 14 through 15. For some reason this morning, the clock had stopped at Moscow. That's the preacher's hope. Hey, maybe I can finish this message today. The clock stopped. Oh, don't we have a daylight saving time change coming up here soon? Yeah, that's coming, not far away. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 through 15. And I'm on the wrong page here. There I am, correct. We'll back up to verse 13, but what Paul's teaching about there at the church in Corinth is, you know, the problems that that church has, like we have here at Fruitland. All churches have problems, and there's always that potential that Satan is at work in the churches, right? We don't have to wonder. He is. He wants to see Fruitland destroyed. He wants to see all of us destroyed. Paul's illustrating that. He said, you're having problems here. It's at Corinth with false prophets, false apostles, he calls them here, deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ. And here's how Paul sums this up. He says, but don't be surprised at that, because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Isn't that interesting? He was known as light bearer. Now he's the angel of darkness, but he manifests himself as an angel of light. I know there's some literary description of how that is. I don't have it at the tip of my tongue this morning. But that's Satan. He's a tricky guy. Very deceitful and tricky. And so Paul goes on to write there. He says, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, his demonic realm, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Folks, our world around us today, and even to an extent with all of us in here, we are walking in danger of deception because Satan manifests himself as the truth and light. And folks, there are people going by on that street this morning. There are people in Fruitland, Muscatine, everywhere around this world that believe what we believe is the darkness, and they've bought into the angel of light, and they believe what he's taught, his deception in the world, is the truth. Folks, Satan is a tricky rascal. And there's many that are deceived. There are many that are deceived, but he is our adversary, and he is out to take us out. Let me just say this, and we're out of time. We'll start up with how Satan fell and the record of that next week, but let me just say this quickly. You've heard this from him before, but I've got to say it again. Satan and his deceptive bag of tricks has tried to block the cross. If you go back to Genesis 1:31, and actually if you go to 3:15 after that fall that we looked at earlier, from Genesis 3:15 on, Satan has been trying to block people from seeing the coming cross of Christ. And from that point on, where he defeated sin, from that point on, now he is trying to defeat and hold people from looking back at the cross of Christ. That's his mission, and his minions are involved in that. Next week, we'll go to Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, and we'll look at how exactly Satan fell and how, again, we can understand what's taking place in our world. But let me just say this, folks, and I'll touch on this again next week in conclusion. We are dealing with a dangerous adversary. And let us understand this as well. As of this day yet, Satan and his demonic influence have they have access to heaven. God is still bouncing things with Satan. Read the book of Job. But folks, in a day not far away, I believe in the tribulation period, second half to be particular, and we'll look at the warfare that's going on. By the way, we're coming up on a time of the year when satanic things are going to take place. Not that they aren't all the time, but we don't realize what's going on in the heavens. But there will be a war, and it's found in Revelation 12, where Satan is, and his minion are going to be kicked out of heaven for good to the earth. And you think things are bad now. We'll see all that next week if I get there. It's in your notes, so if you look. But I want to just take us to this thought. You don't have to turn this morning. I know we're over time, and technically I told her what? Okay, you can say it. I didn't mean to. A lie. 1 Peter 5:8-9. You don't have to go there, but know this today. Satan is out here like a roaring lion trying to take all the people he can. And what I've just told you, we'll see it next week in Scripture. As his days grow shorter, he's going to become fiercer. Are you engaged in the battle today? Do you have your Galatians 6 armor on? Folks, we need to get armored up for this battle because there's targets painted on us. It's my encouragement today for all of us to stand strong in the day in the power and might of the Lord. That's found also in Ephesians chapter 6. But be aware today that this adversary wants to do you in. And I'll tell you what, friend, if you're here today and you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus, by the way, you won't place your faith and trust in Jesus till you acknowledge what? That you need him, that you're a sinner. That what I explained earlier that took place has affected you and it's affected your soul eternally. But today, if you can acknowledge that you're a sinner, also acknowledge and understand that Jesus came as a Savior for you. There's no price you can pay. There's no thing you can do to earn your way into heaven or to be changed, but you can be transformed immediately by the light of the world, not the angel of light, but by the light of the world, who is Jesus, by first of all just simply calling upon his name. That's the physical part, but before you call on his name, you have spiritually accepted the fact that he died for your sins personally. Amen. and you believe that with all your heart, the Bible says you will be saved. That's the message of the Savior. But we'll explore this fully and how this all came about in the idea again and the reality that Lucifer fell and demonic activity and a place called hell is real for those apart from the victor, Jesus Christ. Thanks for your good attention this morning. Amen. Lonnie, I'm going to let you close today, but you know, there's not a thing wrong today if you're struggling to go for help. There's not a thing wrong to come up front today either and say, you know, publicly, look, John, I'm going to stand here today while Lonnie closes because I need to be here. If you're struggling with these effects in your life of demonic influence, come on up. Let's pray together. Let's help one another. If you need Jesus today and you need to be saved, do it, folks. Take what he's offered to you. He loves you dearly today. God is a good God. He is a God of truth, and he is a God who genuinely cares about you this day. Thanks again for your wonderful attention, and may you have a great day in the Lord. Lonnie, I'll let you close. I'll be up here. I'd love to pray with you today. I'd love to show you from Scripture how you can be saved, delivered from this cursed, sinful, broken world.
Let's stand, please. Turn to 496.